welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Praise the Lord. He has been speaking to me about a new song. And so, as you know, we did that for the ladies' meeting. Our theme was a new song. Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Sing a new song. Do something new. Do something creative. God is creative. In the beginning, God created. It's the very first thing he did. And he made us in his image. And so in order to be our true selves and to be like God, we need to be creative. That's what God did. It says the first thing he did. In the beginning, he created. We want to be like him. Psalm 104, verse 24 says, Oh Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. He's so creative. He likes to wow us with his works. He likes to astonish us. Don't you love being inspired by seeing God's creation? Like some people, you know, on Instagram, people send me sometimes random, very random birds. Some of them are so random. I'm like, I don't think God created that one. Like, you know, you got to know your birds. But still, the ones he created are amazing. And the creatures, you just go, what was that? God, he has had so much fun. Some of those, you know, those weird deep sea fish, they're so weird, you know, with an eye popping out here and strange colors. And he's so creative. And he says to us, come on, sing a new song, be creative. And then it says, because he has done marvelous things, because he is good. We are creative because we want to bring glory to him, because he's good. We're not being creative to show off how great we are or how talented we are. Any talent we have comes from him anyway. It says, sing to the Lord a new song because of him. He has done marvelous things. Every morning it says his compassion for us is new. Every morning. I can understand that. The last couple of weeks, every morning I've had a little 4-year-old person come running into my bed, and every morning it's like, I just can't believe how amazingly wonderful this is. It's like a new delight every morning. I never get tired of it. Not once. That little face, hi granny. I'm just like, I don't care what time she wakes me up. I'm just like, wake me up. What a delight. I'm not a mum, you know, if you're a mum, it's... When you're a granny, it's just a whole different thing. But when your mum is like, oh, go to sleep. So we need to walk in the newness of life. We need to have new affections and new expressions of our love for God. And that's just because we love him. We love him, so we sing a new song. And it's a command. It's not optional. It doesn't say, if you'd like to. It says, do it. We create for God because we love him. My husband is very good at present giving. He has many skills, and one of them is present giving, which I discovered soon after before we were married, actually. He started to give me presents. And we went through, over the years, he's done so many different and creative things. He's made cards. I think with anniversaries, he started to give me a present for every year that we'd been married. And we got up to about 20 years and it was just getting a bit much, wasn't it? So he'd give me one present for 1 year, two, then three, then four, five. It was just like, yay. But then it was like, babe, we have to stop. It was just, so we stopped. But imagine giving your wife or your husband the same card every year. Imagine just kind of getting the card and just kind of scratching out the date, you know, 2023, 2024. Dear Ruth, happy birthday, I love you, Chris, 23, 24. The same. You wouldn't appreciate it, would you? After a while, you'd be like, thanks. You know, you kind of like a little bit of freshness in the love, even after all these years of marriage. Well, God's the same. sing a new song. He doesn't want us just to do the same thing over and over because that's just what we do. Okay, God, I love you. Like, he's like, no. Sing to the Lord a new song. Now, in the Bible, it says these words, those exact words, sing to the Lord a new song, about 9 times. It says it a lot. So I am actually going to go through and look at some of those occasions, and this is just the times it says it specifically, but there's other times when they actually sing a new song. I mean, Psalms, David just sings songs, and there's all these other times when they do it. But I just want to look at some of those times and inspire and encourage us to have that attitude of creativity, of doing something new, something different. Psalm 96:1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. The exact same words. Sing to the Lord all the earth. So this one is every one of us. We're not getting away with it. He told us to do it, so let's do it. Try something new, every single one of you. Let's just, it says, all the earth do something new. Our children, we need to be encouraging them to find something creative, some expression of creativity. Just give it a go. You know, I just got my cello fixed, so I'm playing it again. And I'm really quite bad at the cello. When I started playing, I went, well, this is, it's not very pretty. But it's fun. I'm glad that I do it because I wanted to do it. Do you know what I'm saying? Some of you probably think, I'd like to do that, but I'm like, well, do it. Just do it. If you ever have an inspiration to do something new, do it. Just do it. I'd like to paint. Paint. Go to the shop, buy a thing, buy some paint and paint. Will it be good? Maybe not. Like my cello playing, but I think it's healthy, you know, just to try new things. It's good for our brain. It's good for us to just be like, it's good. It was good for my hands just to, you know, to do different things. It's very healthy to be new and fresh. And even if it's not our greatest skill, it doesn't matter. No one has to hear us. So let's be creative and let's encourage our children to try things out. We're so blessed. We've got the kids band. We get them up there. It's really fun sometimes, the sounds. I tell you what I have now. It makes you appreciate drummers. Leah says, yeah. Because when the drummer is completely offbeat, it's very hard to sing the song. It's like, you know, and we're all clapping, like, you know. But, you know, they're having a go. That's why we've got the band there. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for you to get your children to learn an instrument. Just, you know, get them going. And if they're no good at it, that's okay. You know, have a go. So, everybody, sing to the Lord all. Everyone, a new song. Every one of us needs to do something new. Psalm 33:3, sing to him a new song. There it is again. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. So while it's good to try new things, I do believe that the Lord has given us skill in some things. And it's really important to use our talent and our skill for God. And it's really important to develop that skill. So it's great to try out all different things, but then you often sort of know, look, for me personally, I'm not joining any chamber orchestras anytime soon. Eleanor's smiling because I've been practicing while she's been at home. So she's been very gracious about it, actually. She's encouraging. But, you know, he rewards our diligence and our development. So it says to play skillfully. So he understands that, you know, we're busy, but he also wants us to develop these skills that he has given us. There's a whole parable about hiding your talent and saying, oh, well, you know, I'm no good, so I just don't use it. It's like, no, use it for Jesus. And I've just got a big list of creative talents here. Now, you might have another one, but obviously singing, we're talking about the song there, but that works with any form of music or any form of instrument that you might play. Visual arts, words, food, events, homemaking, fashion, flowers, wood, mechanics, chemistry, gardening, graphic design, engineering, architecture. Has anyone got one that I didn't think of that you're good at? Let me know right now. But you see what? There's so many areas of creative endeavor that God wants us to develop and God wants us to use for his glory. He's really into it. He says it over and over again. Let's do something new. John Piper says this. The truth is that when a person speaks or writes or sings or paints about God and his breathtaking works and truth in a boring way, it's probably a sin. Go, John. It's probably a sin if you're boring. I think that's interesting because God's not boring and he's given us all kinds of skill to use. So let's develop those skills and let's do our best for Jesus. Sing to the Lord skillfully with a shout of joy. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints. So this one is about being public with our gift. Now, as I said, it's probably best to be public with the one that you're actually skillful with rather than the one that is sort of like your fun one at home. But it's great. We don't want to hide away our gifts. We need to use them. It says use them in the assembly. And I just thank God that we do sing new songs in this church. It's great. I think actually this morning one of those songs was quite old. It's okay to sing old songs. It's not wrong. It's lovely to sing old songs. It brings back old memories. It reminds us of God's goodness in seasons past. It's not wrong at all. But an interesting fact, he never tells us to. He doesn't need to remind us to sing old songs. He tells us many, many times to sing new songs, but not once in the Bible could I see him saying, sing an old song. Sing something, you know. He doesn't say it. Why not? Because we just do it anyway. He doesn't need to remind us to do that. We love singing old songs. It's easy. It's comfortable. And we love to do the old. I mean, what is it with men and old T-shirts? What is that? It's like men get these comfortable clothes, and I don't know if all men are like this or some of you might, but they get these comfortable clothes and you're like, this has had it, let's throw it out. Well, it's just got comfortable. It's just nice. It's like, it's disgusting. I'll buy a new one. No, I don't need any new ones. It's like, yes, you do. Is there any other men like that? I don't know. Is that just my husband? He loves very, very soft, comfortable clothing. He likes them air conditioned. He likes them with a few little holes. He says it lets the air out. We're comfortable with the old, and that's why we don't need to be reminded to wear old T-shirts. We love them. And sometimes you get something new, it's a bit scratchy, it's a bit, you know, it's not as comfortable for us. And, you know, well done to all of you because we sing new songs in this church, and I know that there are some places where they complain about that, like, oh, why do we have to sing new songs? It's like, well, because the Bible tells us to 9 times, you know, and that's why we do it. It keeps us fresh, keeps us moving forward because you do notice that the world is just constantly moving into a place of newness, just constantly. And if you fight that newness, initially you might just look like you're doing your own thing, but eventually you look like a weirdo. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you wearing those weird old clothes? Or you go to a church sometimes, you think, come on, guys, like, you got another song? Like, let's do something new. Eventually it's, you know, you start to think it's not right. I heard a podcast the other day about a guy that he doesn't have a mobile phone and he sort of doesn't like modern society. And it's like, okay. But the Bible actually says this, Ecclesiastes 7:10, do not say, don't say, why were the former days better than these? It's not from wisdom that you ask this. It's not wise. It's not wise. So you can sort of say, this is the season. This is where I'm going to stop with the fashion, with the clothes, with the songs, whatever, because this is the best season. Or maybe you even think it was better back here, you know, when I was a child, back in the day. It wasn't better. Cool. Well, Chris has got a thing about 70s music, which, yeah. But 50s music, like, yeah, no. But look, there's always things in every season. There are troubles and tragedies and triumphs. Every season and every period of time in this world has had its good and bad, and we can look back at the good of it, but there's plenty of bad things as well, and we just don't know because we don't live there. So this is where we live, and these times are the best of times, and this is what we have to work with and continue moving forward in a fresh new way. You know, it just in on that I was thinking about I just saw this photograph of New York, and I think it was about 1900, you know, because they were talking, someone was talking about horse and buggies, and you know how it just looks so romantic and lovely, you know, and just a little bit slower and nicer way of travel, not sort of crazy cars, but just horse and buggies. And this photograph of had showed a New York street, and it was beyond disgusting. It was like about that thick in manure. And it was just, and apparently it stank, and you couldn't walk across the road. And they said it was a huge problem. But just before cars came in, the population was big, and it was just a massive, they couldn't get rid of it all every day. And so the streets stank, and no one, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, nice horse and buggy, yay, you know. But there's a reason why everyone went, quick, let's get into cars, you know. So it's good to have a new song. It's good to bring it to the assembly, to bring our creativity here to bless each other. It brings glory to God, but it blesses us when someone does something new. How lovely on Good Friday to see people doing their creative works, and just it's to see something new. It helps us to be aware of God's goodness in a new, fresh way. And I think sometimes we don't create, I think partly because of laziness, let's face it. It's just easier to be a consumer than a creator. It's much easier to flick on Netflix than to sit down and figure out a song or write a, you know, a poem or a thesis or whatever it is that you write. It's easy to, and it's easy to assume, you know, we can say that we don't do it because, well, I'm not very good at it, or it's not really happening, or I'm not inspired. But Proverbs 26:13 says, the lazy man says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion is in the streets. So the lazy man can find a reason that looks like I don't have to create, or a reason why I don't have to do something new. Maybe fear of failure or fear of judgment or whatever it is. Sometimes it's a pride, actually, because with creative endeavour, I mean, you're never the best, are you? You do something and you think, well, I mean, it's just not that good. You're very critical of your own thing. So you're sort of like, I'm so embarrassed to bring forth my creative effort because people are going to go, oh, that's not as good as... And these days, it's not as if we're comparing to each other. We're comparing to the best in the world. The best musicians in the world are just at the snap of our fingers, a touch of a button. And the best creative forces in every area are so available. So when we listen to that, we think, well, I'm not very good. It's like, you're very good for us. Okay, I can't... Who's a very creative person? The only person coming to my brain is Justin Bieber. I'm like, no, I don't know why. I never even listened to him. I don't know. But he's not here. I would love it if he came and song led for us. I'd love it if Taylor Swift got, you know, thoroughly born again and came here. She's not here. You know what I'm saying? We need your creative efforts. We need your songwriting efforts. We need your poems. We need your painting, your everything, whatever it is that you do for Jesus. We need it because we don't have those famous people. We just have you. No. It sort of came to that place a little bit, didn't it? But no, we have to have the saints who are on the earth. They are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight, all my delight. So, but yeah, we have to create products, create things for the assembly, and we have to have that balance of wisdom and skill. We have to know which one of your skills is really for public use. You know, there are some people that are very bold and they bring something in and think, I think that's just for you and Jesus in your bedroom, don't you think? Like, you know, but that doesn't tend to be our problem. Our problem tends to be we don't bring anything forward. So, you know, we need to bring something that's appropriate and beautiful and wonderful, and let's not squash each other's attempts. You know, let's encourage one another. So, bring your new song to the assembly, please. Bring it for us. Bring it to bring glory to God. And, you know, the other thing is, a lot of what happens publicly with creativity is so distorted and debauched anyway. We are doing things that bring glory to God. You know what I'm saying? Like, so much the modern creativity, we cannot listen to or enjoy in any way. It's just beyond. It's selfish and prideful and indulgent and sinful. So we have to shut that off. So we need Christians to rise up and be creative in a way that is beautiful and holy and brings glory to God. Isaiah 42:10. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing his praises from the ends of the earth. Sing, all you who sail the seas and live in distant coastlands. So this is speaking about merchants. Sailors were merchants in those days, generally traveling and often doing business. So here is another area where he's saying, everyone, even those who aren't Jews, even those ones who are in the distant place, I want you to be creative. I want merchants and business people to be creative. And I've had so much fun looking up about creative solutions in business. This one I love, about Barry Maguire. Barry Maguire runs a car wax business, and he's the third generation of Maguire's car wax, or Maguire's wax. The business started with his grandfather, and he sold furniture polish back in the day, but he didn't like the polish that he was selling. He didn't like it. And he was a Christian man, and he prayed, because he said, I don't want to sell stuff I don't like. So he asked God, he said, I want a better furniture polish. And so he said that he prayed about it, and he got this idea to use some very unusual ingredients to create this wax. So he created this wax, he started a business, and it was the perfect finish for black lacquer furniture. And then the people who had horse and buggies, again, we're back on the buggies, they started to use it because it made their buggies so shiny. And it was a hit, and it went really, really well. And then when cars came, took over from buggies, the company was smart enough and savvy enough to just change it a little bit and create a car wax. So this guy, Barry Maguire, he's the third generation. He's still full on for Jesus. And this is the number one car wax in America. And it's the perfect finish on black paint, especially, like on the real, you know, old school cars, but all sorts of cars. And this guy's just serving Jesus and selling car wax. And it all came about because of a creative solution. A creative solution. We heard from Susie at the women's night that when God created, it says he created the light and separated the darkness, but he didn't destroy the darkness. Because light normally destroys darkness, but what God did was he had a dark period, night, and a light period, day. So we do have darkness in our life. We have problems. We have issues. Things go on, even just the wrong car wax. But what he's calling us to do is to separate the darkness and use the darkness to realize I need some light here in this problem. I need to bring a solution. And that there's creative tension in that and contrast in that, which is good. It's like you don't know that you need a good car wax until you've got a bad car wax. You know what I'm saying? So you don't know you need light until you're in the darkness. You go, it's dark here. How do we create light? So if you find something that bothers you in your life, or if you have a problem in your business or in your world, and that's a dark place, that's not just something to be destroyed and just ignored and, oh, yuck, I don't like the darkness. That's something to kind of go, is there some creativity here? Because when God saw darkness, he created light. So when I have these dark issues, this is a creative opportunity. Isn't that a great way to look at it? I love that. So that was just one creative solution, and there's so many. You know, we've spoken about Letourneau before, who created earth-moving equipment, and he used to get ideas and just blast away the earth. It's not very fashionable these days, but, you know, blast down all the trees. And there's so many examples of this. Psalm 40 verse 3 says this, he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust the Lord. So sometimes in this world of creativity, it's almost like he just gives it to us. There's direct inspiration from God, which is fantastic. I believe when we wait on God, sometimes those solutions come straight from him. A little bit with Barry Maguire. Also, Matt McPherson, he received a vision from God. He was into archery. But he didn't like the compound, the bow that he was using. And he literally got this vision on this revolutionary compound bow. He was praying about it, and I was looking it up, but there's a couple of these stories I might be mixing up, but there was one of them was like, he like saw a piece of paper come down from heaven. He went, oh, wow. So he built this compound bow and built up this amazing company called McPherson Archery. And again, just this created this amazing product that everybody loved, and he made a lot of money out of it. He ended up selling the business. But it's like sometimes he inspires us. And that's exciting, but I believe we've got to wait on God and trust him with those creative solutions. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. So I like that idea as well, that these businessmen, they bring glory to God. They're very open about the fact that this business was inspired by God. And so it's not just so that they can have a great bow or great car wax. It's so people go, oh, wow, I didn't know God did that. That's awesome. You mean God can give me ideas for my business? Yes, he can. And God can give us ideas in all of our art that will lead to people trusting the Lord. There's a great story from out of Bethel, Austin, about a woman who painted. She was a prophetic artist. So she would pray and then paint what she felt like God was showing her. And she had painted a roaring lion as one of her paintings. And then she got COVID and she was very sick. And she said at the time she felt like she saw this evil black tunnel coming towards her, and in her sickness, and she was a little delirious by the sound of it. But then she remembered the painting that she had painted, the roaring lion, and she felt like the Lord say, you need to roar at this sickness. So she literally roared, at first not loud enough and then really loudly. She was just really resisted the sickness and rebuked it, and she was healed. But that came out of her previously being prepared and ready and painting and being prophetic. So we need to do that. Then she had another friend who was sick, so she sent them the painting. They had a wound. She said, put the painting on you. It has power. There's prophetic power in our imagination, in our inspiration, because it can be spiritual. And we absolutely see this in the book of Exodus, which I'll go there now. When God called Bezalel to create the tabernacle, it wasn't just the fact that he was artistic, it was spiritual. This tabernacle has a spiritual representation, and it was spiritually powerful, and then later the temple. But if we look at Exodus 35:30, it says, Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah, and has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. What for? To preach, prophesy, sing? No. To design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. He gifted the artists and he anointed them. He anointed them to make the tabernacle. That's so encouraging. It's not just like an extra little gift that you might have. It's anointed. He's called them and said, I need you to come and build this building. I need you to make it beautiful. And God obviously cares about things looking nice, because there's a lot of chapters describing the tabernacle and then later the temple. A lot of chapters. And obviously it's because every single thing in that tabernacle and that temple points to Jesus. It's symbolic and it's powerful in its symbolism. But I think also he just wanted it to be beautiful because he's beautiful. He wanted us to see how glorious he is and how amazing he is. So that's something to be inspired of. It says, many will see and fear and trust in the Lord. We need to use our creative callings like Bezalel and do something beautiful. Anything you see in this, even in this building or in your own homes that isn't beautiful and ordered and wonderful and bringing glory to God, change it, make it great. God anointed Bezalel to make his house great, to make the tabernacle great, to make this church great. And not to mention our own homes. It's anointed to have a beautiful home, to have people over and to minister to them with a beautiful place. So let's make sure that we use our creative callings and understand that it can be anointed and special and important. And in fact, when I was looking all of this up, I noticed that in Jerusalem, the Bezalel Academy of Art and Design, they've named it after him, the oldest institute of higher education in Israel, established by a Jewish painter and sculptor, Boris Schwartz. So they are obviously, still following that up in this fabulous university named after him. So our creativity is a blessing and it will cause people to trust in the Lord. Psalm 144 verse 9, I will sing a new song to you, O God. On the harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. I just want us to be encouraged with, yes, there's inspiration. There's times when God just puts a song in our mouth. There's times when we're inspired or when we're skillful, but there's also a great deal of decision and determination around creativity. And, you know, I was encouraged, I was looking up Professor Brian Lucas of Cornell University. They've done all these studies on the issue of creativity, and they were saying that you define your problem, so that's the darkness, generate ideas, select ideas, and develop ideas. So a lot of people stop after the first two things. They define the problem, they generate ideas, but they don't know you've got to then select which ones are best and then you've got to develop them. And it's hard work. And what they found was most people feel like the inspiration is the creative part. They feel like, oh, I was so inspired and I did this. But I don't know if you've ever tried to write anything or a song. I've noticed that you get inspired for about four lines and then you're not. You're not inspired anymore. And you think, oh, well, I'm not inspired anymore, so I never did finish that song or that book or that garden or whatever it was. The inspiration goes right at the beginning. What they found was they actually did studies to find that the beginning, that initial inspiration is good, but not the best. They said the best creativity comes with the hard work because the initial inspiration is often a little cliched, a little ordinary, a little normal, because you just sort of do what you know. But it says it's in the hard yakka. It's like, oh, how am I going to get this rhyme? Or how am I going to fix this you know, stage? How am I going to, you know? I mean, even when we built this, they had problems because it was flat and it reflected, I think. So they had to change. It's got a slight angle because we had to work with the lights and there was a problem, you know. You have to, how are we going to do it? And it's in the hard work that often is the best creativity. So that I will sing on a harp of 10 strings. There's got to be an element of determination. I'm going to get a 10 string harp and it's going to be harder and I'm going to have to use my determination. So it's good to know that there's work in creativity and we've all got to. So when God says sing a new song and I'll put it in your mouth, it sounds like, yeah, great, I'll go home and do it. But it's like, yeah, it's going to be work. You're going to have to work at it as well. It will start, but it will not finish with just, unless you're prepared to put in the effort. Very, very, very occasionally you hear someone who said, the whole song just came to me or the whole idea, but that's not the norm. So sing a new song to the Lord. There's so many places in the Bible where they do it and there's so many times they tell us to do it. I want to encourage you to have that attitude of creativity to actually do it, to go home and think, who can I ask over for dinner? What will I cook? How can I make this garden look nicer so that I can have people over? How can I write this song? How can I, whatever it is, let's do it for Jesus. And listen to this to finish. Revelation 5:8-9 says this. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb and they sang a new song. How about that? Even in heaven, we're going to keep doing new songs. They're like, let's sing something new. It never stops. God's always creating and we will continue to be creative right through eternity. So let's begin now. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we do make a decision to obey you, sing a new song to the Lord. We are a creative people. And we want to bring glory to you. I pray even now, Lord, that creative ideas be popping into people's heads or problems or areas of their life that need newness, that need freshness. And they're thinking, yep, I got to get onto that. I got to get onto that. And you, I feel like God's saying that to you. He's given you ideas and things and it's sort of like you've been putting it off. I feel like God's saying, just do it now. Don't wait for the perfect time. Don't wait for the perfect place. Just do it. Get it done. Thank you, Father. Help us to be diligent, to be creative, to be like you in all our endeavors, to bring glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. And as we come to the end of the service, the most wonderful newness that we can have is a new heart and a new spirit. And we heard from Sylvia when she asked Jesus into her heart. It was the beginning of something new. And if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you need to do that. You need to be sure that you're born again. So I want you to come up and talk to me after the service, and I'll pray with you, and you can enter in. God's waiting for you. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.